Well, praise the Lord. I will echo what Brother Steve said about Happy Father's Day. And the emphasis, as always, I think, ultimately is on our Heavenly Father. Thank God. No matter what kind of earthly father you have, we've got one as perfect. Thank God. Well, I've had some thoughts on my mind that have kind of been just simmering for a while. This is one where it just didn't happen yesterday, but it's kind of worked on me, and it always, and I think this is right, it always tends to come out of my own experience and things that the Lord's dealing with me about. But I always know that when God deals with me, it isn't just for me. In fact, that's true for every one of us. Whatever the Lord does in us is not just so we can be something wonderful. In fact, it isn't that at all. It's so that we can be a blessing and a help to others. There are many things, many areas of truth, many ways in which the Lord has pictured for us the life that He desires us to learn how to live in this world. And I believe one of the most significant ones is in John 15, very familiar passage, but I believe the Lord can make this fresh in a way that will make a difference in our lives. Just the way I've thought about it has made a big difference, and I'm just praying that it will, at least the beginnings of what I hope is a difference. But anyway, I'm just going to go ahead and read the passage, because my tendency is to read a few words and then get bogged down trying to talk about it. So let's go ahead and go through it first. Now, this is Jesus. He's talking to His disciples between the time of what they call the Last Supper, and when He was arrested, and then all of that took place. So anyway, He said, "I am the true vine, and My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in Me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it may be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in Me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in Me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in Me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in Me and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is My Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be My disciples. As the Father has loved Me, so have I loved you. Now remain in My love. If you keep My commands, you will remain in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that My love may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are My friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from My Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in My name, the Father will give you. This is My command: love each other." That's quite a picture, isn't it? And I pray that the Lord will make this more real to all of us. But I wanted to read all of that because ultimately, what is the Lord getting at in giving us this illustration of what it means to live for Him? It comes down to this at the end. It says that we have been chosen and called and appointed and all, to do what? To produce what kind of fruit? Fruit that will last. Pretty good title right there, isn't it? We can get that out of the way. Fruit that will last. Now, one thing I think we need to make plain right from the beginning is that this is not just talking about the special ones, the apostles, the preachers, whatever. This is talking to every believer. This is what our life is meant to be about and how it's meant to be lived. God wants every one of us to produce something that will last. Now, obviously, I think he plainly should be able to see. He's not just talking about earthly things. That is, yeah, it'll last for so long. You know, it's interesting. Our Bible reading right now is in Ecclesiastes, isn't it? And, or at least I'm there. I'm a couple days ahead. But anyway, in Ecclesiastes, the Lord allowed Solomon to explore life on earth and to find out, where is there any meaning in it? We see people that are wise, people that are foolish. We see people that are evil, people that are good, people that accomplish great things, people that accomplish nothing. And what is his conclusion when he comes? Obviously one thing's better than another when you come to earthly life, but in the final analysis, what did it all come to? Vanity, and worse than that, vexation of spirit. This is not something that is ultimately in the big picture, it all comes to nothing. In fact, he just decries the fact at one point that, you know, he looks at one man who wastes his life, another man who accomplishes great things, and when it comes down to the end, they both go in the same grave. So what vanity and vexation of spirit, what is it all about? Obviously, it has to be worth something, about something that is more than has to do with this life. And so ultimately, you know, you think about when we set out in life, we have certain ideas as to what matters, what's important, and what our life is about. But I believe what Jesus is getting at here is he wants every one of us, every one of us, to be able to produce fruit that lasts. Now, what does he mean by lasting fruit? He means eternal fruit. He means he has designed your life to be, in spite of the fact that you're living on an earthly existence, and everything about this world is going to pass away. It won't matter if you build a great giant corporation, you're going to die and leave it behind. You can't take any of this with you. But there is a way to produce something that will have eternal ramifications. And this is not just for the special ones. I've got to emphasize that again. This is for every single believer. God wants your life to make an eternal difference. You matter. Does not the Lord say that every believer is called and chosen? Now, we may not be chosen for the same exact role. We are all different, are we not? But yet every single believer, I don't care if you feel like you're the most insignificant, your life doesn't really amount to anything, it amounts to something in heaven. And God has a way where your life can make an eternal difference. Praise God. So obviously, obviously that he's talking about the true vine. Now the picture here is of a source of life. What is it that makes a vine productive? Is it just a good manufacturer or something? No, there is life in it. That life itself has the power to produce something that is meaningful. And it's not even meaningful to the vine. The vine doesn't eat the grapes. See, God hasn't called us to do something that is ultimately going to gratify self. He's called every one of us to produce something that matters to somebody else. That's the whole picture of what the kingdom of God is about. But you know, when it comes to life, when it comes to the source of what matters and what this world is all about and the power to produce that, that's pretty critical, isn't it? It's not just that we know what we're supposed to do, but it gets down to how do you do that? And so this is where we have to come to a living source of some kind. Jesus is the true vine. He is the only source of what it takes for a life in this world to matter. Because when we all stand before Him one day, what will all of your earthly accomplishments matter? Is the Lord going to say, well, look at all the good you did. Look at the charitable works. Look at this, that. There are all kinds of things that men consider great. And none of them will matter in that day except what He's talking about right here. And I pray that God will give us a deeper vision of this. And of course, ultimately behind this, as we've said, as has already been said this morning, is the ultimate Father. Praise God. You have got a God who is working out a purpose that is in earth. He didn't send His Son just to be some kind of an angelic figure. He came down here and took on our flesh. He walked among us. He is the ultimate demonstrator of what He's talking about. Because how did He accomplish anything in this world that has an eternal significance? Did He simply employ His natural abilities and accomplish stuff? Or did He say, I'm here for a reason? And that reason, Father, is to allow You to live in me. And if there's anything accomplished, it's not going to be me coming up with the resources to do it. It's going to be simply surrendering and allowing, agreeing with Your will, Father. Because You're here to do Your will, but You want me to be an instrument for what You want to do. So my life is in Your hand. You're the gardener. You know what it takes. You know what I need to be, you know, you see the natural picture there. Knows how to fertilize the soil. Knows how to clean out the weeds. Knows how to deal with whatever there is that's going to hinder what He's, that purpose is. And so there was a perfect union, absolute perfect union between the Son and His Father to accomplish the Father's purpose. So what a prime example we have, the example of all examples of what He's really talking about here. So here's the Father as the gardener, knows what to do. Now He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. That sounds scary. And on one level it needs to be. But He's not talking about taking a real believer and saying, all right, you don't measure up, out you go. See, this isn't somebody who just produces a little fruit. This is somebody who produces no fruit. Now, what would be the case if you had a branch that was somehow connected to a vine but didn't produce any fruit? You'd pretty well understand, hey, there's no internal connection. There's no real connection there. You got somebody that's got an outward connection. Anybody looking on would say, oh, yes, that's a branch. They're connected to the vine. But yet, if there is no life flowing from the vine into that branch, nothing's going to happen. And so you've got a case of somebody who has an outward profession that's not real. I pray that if there's somebody that this describes, that God will get a hold of your heart. Your life will be an utter waste if you don't understand what He's talking about here. And only God can open your understanding. Do you want your understanding opened? If you don't understand it, ask Him. He's not going to be offended by that. Let's just call upon the Lord and say, God, I need, what is life about? I don't want to just live my life. And then here's the wisest man who ever lived and said, I don't care what you accomplish in the world. It's going to come to an end and pass away. And what then what? Oh, God, help us to get this. But anyway, so this is a warning to somebody who has never really given their heart to Him and never been really connected. You got a profession, but that's it. God's not fooled, is He? All right. While every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes. The Greek there is cleans. Now, He does whatever it takes, in other words, to remove every hindrance so that it can produce fruit. Now, what does that tell you about those who do produce fruit? Well, one encouraging thing is that we're not perfect. We need a gardener. I need somebody who, he understands, hey, there are no perfect branches. We're all works in progress, and we all need to be cleaned and need to be pruned, don't we? We need someone who knows every hair on our head, who's able to get right down to the nitty-gritty of our lives and do whatever it takes so that we can begin to get rid of the stuff that's getting in the way and so that we can produce more fruit. Praise God. So Lord, you see what's wrong with me. You see what's lacking in me. You see what's hindering your life from coming out of me. And I know that you're faithful. And since I understand that, I don't want to just sit there and say, he's got to work on me and I don't like it. I'm going to say, Lord, go for it. Give me the grace, give me the strength to humble myself in your hands and say, Lord, do whatever it takes so that I'm fulfilling your purpose and not any earthly purpose of my own. It's not about me. It's about your purpose. And you look at the overall context you hear, you see that it's not about the person who bears the fruit. We said that the vine doesn't eat grapes. The branch doesn't eat grapes. They're produced for somebody else's benefit. Why did Jesus come? He was already the Lord of heaven. He was already the Creator. He was already number one in the kingdom of His Father. But He came because of us. He came because of your need and mine. He gave His life. Greater love has no one, but He gives His life for His friends. I want to be His friend, don't you? Praise God. Isn't that awesome how He regards us? We're servants, yes, but isn't that something he talks at the end where He's not just talking about us as servants, but as friends, someone He wants to communicate with, someone He wants to have a heart-level relationship with. And the whole purpose of that is so that things can come out of our life. It will go out and help other people. It's focused on them, not us. And we'll be able to stand there before the throne one day and look around and say, Lord, you touched my life. I wasn't anybody. But you lived in me, and I was able to have an effect on somebody else. And there they stand. Oh, my God. Do you know anything more important than that? What's going to matter to us on that day? Only what's done for Christ will last, as a part of a saying. Only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ. And I would change that to say, only what's done by Christ, in and through us, is what's going to last. Praise God. All right? And notice the connection between being clean and the Word. What is it that dirties us up? It's the lies that come out of this world that ultimately come out of Satan's heart about what matters and what's important. And to the degree we have imbibed that, and it forms any part of our value system, our thinking, we got some cleaning that needs to happen. Amen. Now, see, Paul put that in a different way, didn't he? About presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, and then allowing Him to transform us by the renewing of our mind. And so God's going to have to do some, got a lot of cleaning to do in here. There's a lot of bad stuff, a lot of cobwebs, every single one of us. So God wants to give us a heart that says, God, you are the source of truth. In fact, Jesus said, I am the truth. He said that in the previous chapter. The way, the life, I'm it. You want to know what's real? You want to know what God and His kingdom is really about? It's all in me. And you get connected to me, you get connected to what matters and what lasts. And God wants every one of us to be part of that and to matter. And you do. I don't care how small and how weak you think you are. Truth is, we are. But God doesn't want us to focus on our worthlessness or whatever the devil tells us about ourselves. Oh, I'll tell you, we were worth dying for in his estimation. You want to measure your worth in God's eyes? Jesus died with you in mind. Praise God! Is he worth living for and trusting? Absolutely. All right. So now he's describing a relationship. Remain in me, so as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Unless you didn't get that the first time, he says, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You know, a branch doesn't sit there. It doesn't go to branch school to learn how to bear grapes. It doesn't have a textbook. It doesn't have a set of formulas. It doesn't have all the things that we tend to surround ourselves with and we think that matters. This is a product of a relationship. And it isn't just one of these things where we turn it on and off. One of the things that drew my, I think the thing, that drew my mind to this passage was this. I tend to find myself in situations like on a Sunday morning where I am ultra conscious that I can't do this. I can't do anything, and I don't want to. The Lord's given me enough of a desire that I want something that's going to help you, and I can't do that. It doesn't matter how smart I am or I'm not, how much I study and how what a great, you know, sermon I come up with. None of that matters. And so it's frequently the case, in fact, it's virtually always the case, that when I'm walking up here, I'm saying, Lord, you're going to have to take over, not I, but Christ. And the Lord kind of got my attention one day when he said, what about the rest of the time? You know, we have this bad habit of dividing life into the spiritual stuff and the regular stuff. I hear enough chuckles to know that you understand what I'm talking about. And we have this idea about being spiritual. Oh, now I'm going to come into church and I'm going to flip the switch. Now I'm getting in my spiritual mode. And I know how I'm supposed to act and what I'm supposed to do and all that kind of stuff. And then benediction time, out we go, and then we're back to being just regular people. Is that what this is describing? Or is there a real sense in which the Lord wants us to be connected 24 hours a day to him? Because the truth is, we are acting, we are interacting with other people. We're doing things all the time. But who's doing it? Is it just coming out of us? You know, the words you just uttered in this particular circumstance, was that Jesus or was that you? Now it's quiet. But that's the truth, isn't it, folks? I believe God wants us to come to a place where we have such a relationship with him that it's not just about the special spiritual stuff, but it defines how we live and how we think and what our focus is. And you know, the thing is, it sounds scary. Oh, I've got to be spiritual all the time, as though that's something we have to work up. That's not what being spiritual is about. Thank God. I mean, he says you can't do it yourself. The point is not just, here's how you're supposed to live, now do that. There's always the sense of where this is coming from. What a perfect illustration this is. That what the Lord is wanting out of us is not a product of any form of self-effort, but it's a product of being so connected that it just happens. Praise God. I want to get to the point where it's as natural as breathing. Do you not think that's what the Lord is wanting from us? I mean, we could go around and say, oh, God, I'm supposed to be spiritual. The Lord's supposed to be doing, What am I supposed to say in this situation? Oh, get my soul-winning script out so I can, you know. God, help us to be so connected to Him that we can go through our day and say, Lord, not I, but Christ. And we'll find ourselves not focused on me and how I'm doing, but on what's going on around me. I'll be faithful in what I do. But I'll be conscious of other people and their needs and how I can speak a word in season to him that's weary. There may be times when the Lord just wants you to plant a seed, just being kind to somebody, being sensitive to their needs. And it's if we have this kind of a relationship with him, it's not us trying to be something. It's just him. Jesus didn't go around, oh my God, what does the Father want me to do today? How do I do that? And I've got to say it right. He was just so connected that he was. He didn't have to try to be. God, help us to have that kind of a relationship. I desire it. I've been real conscious of that lately in a lot of ways. How much of the time are we just carnal in the wrong sense? We don't understand that the Lord wants to fill our whole life and be what he is in us. Now, of course, then the devil will paint a picture of us, boy, that's a dull life. Never have any fun. I'll tell you, I've said this many times in the past, the Lord obviously has a sense of humor. He created you. You know, there are a lot of things that we consider just ordinary and carnal and everyday. Do you not know the Lord cares about everything? I remember, you know, Jim Petrie just went to be with the Lord recently. I'm looking forward to seeing him again. I know many of you are. But I don't remember all the details, but I remember a testimony that he gave one time about there was something in his house that needed to be fixed up, rigged up, somehow. If something that he knew needed to be done, but he couldn't figure out how to do it. I mean, just, you know, how would you do something like that? It was not something where you could go get a solution off the shelf and stick it up there. This was, I've got to be creative and figure out how to do this. I mean, he had to Robert Dyer that. But in this case, instead of going to Robert, he the Lord didn't mind that, did he? My foolish humor. But anyway, so he sat there and he looked at it, and somehow the Lord impressed on him just to say, Lord, how do I solve this? What do I do with this? And the Lord just quickened a solution to him, and he did it, and it worked. Do you know God is concerned with everyday life? Everything that you have to do, everything that falls on your plate to deal with, God wants to be right there in the middle of it. Jesus wasn't just a preacher. He spent most of his life as a carpenter. You suppose I guess I got to do this, but this isn't really what I'm about. Who cares about this stuff? This is just carnal No. He lived a godly life that influenced other people in positive ways doing carpentry. There isn't a thing that is unspiritual, that is just sort of natural. You don't have to worry about that. God wants to be the center of everything. And I have all ideas that when friends get together and they laugh and they love one another and they care about each other and someone tells a funny story, the Lord loves that because there's something, this fellowship there that's going on. Now, if you start telling a dirty joke, now, maybe that's a little different. You get the picture? See, everything that comes out of us is going to come from somewhere. But which life is it expressing? And this is where I believe the Lord longs to teach us to be a better expression of his life and less of our old life. And if we do, there's going to be things happen where, like I say, we'll stand there on that day and we'll see the fruit of something that absolutely lasts. I don't care who you are, your life matters. Your life is meant to be connected to him. Praise God. So neither can you. So, and don't ever let the devil tell you it's about that you can't do it. Because the truth of it is, yes, in myself, I cannot. But God has made a way. There's not a thing in this book that he tells me to do that he does not provide the way that I do it and the power to do it. What an awesome balance there is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think of how the Lord told us to learn from him. When you look at Jesus, do you see a life of, I've got to get this done. What about that? Do you see this anxious striving in him? But yet we're supposed to learn from him, aren't we? And when we do, what do we discover? His yoke is what? Easy, and his burden is light. I believe with all my heart that we have this picture of what it means to serve the Lord, and the devil has garbaged it up and messed up in our minds to where we think it's such hard work and such drudgery that when the benediction comes, now I can just be me again. Well, the me we're meant to be is the same all the time. Doesn't mean we can't laugh and enjoy one another. Doesn't mean any of that stuff. But it needs to be so infused with his life and focused on other people instead of me and what matters to me. And God has empowered you to do things that make an eternal difference. That's what he wants. I pray that God will make this real to me in a deeper way. I mean, I was just thinking of things that have happened since the Lord began to quicken this. And I'd be ready to go out and do something ordinary, maybe run an errand or something. And I'd stop and say, and I know many of you probably are way down the road further in this than I am. Praise God. But to be able to say, in this today, with all of my, whatever my activities might entail, whatever I'm supposed to do today, Lord, not I, but Christ. Help me just to lean upon you and to go out and interact and act and just trust you. And be so focused on relaxing in you in a very real sense. This is not striving, this is resting. This is leaning on the everlasting arms. This is finding strength where I don't have it. Now, obviously that depends upon my agreeing with him. Wanting the same thing. Otherwise, I'm pulling, and he's wanting to go this way, and I'm pulling this way. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks, guys and gals. The Lord wants to bring us to such a place of rest. I've been so blessed over the years and sat back and wondered at the same time, reading testimonies of believers in the past. And their spiritual life has been a struggle. How am I supposed to be what he wants me to be? And then God has brought them to a place of, it isn't struggle at all. It's just surrender and trust. And when I do that, and I'm really agreeing with him and just laying myself at his feet, he fills me. And if I got to go build a table, he helps me to build a good table. And if I'm to work in a factory, or if I'm to teach school, or if I'm to keep house, or what, no matter what it is, or mow the yard, or whatever it is, there's this peace between me and him, and there's a rest. And when people see me, they're seeing and they experience me, they come in contact with me, there's an aura, there's a fragrance, is another way to put it, that Paul puts it. There's a fragrance. And it's not something I'm trying to make happen. It just happens because I'm connected. Does this make sense? Oh, what the Lord wants for us is not a life of struggle and striving and trying to be something we're not. It's just laying down our lives and saying, Lord, here is the reason you made me in the first place. You've called me to a life of joy, of peace, of being able to accomplish something that matters. I know that there are things that I need to do. I need to wash the dishes. I need to do the laundry. I need to mow the lawn. I need to do it. But I can do all those things with a heart that's just reaching up to you and thanking you and praising you. And it's not just words I'm trying to work up. There's a relationship where it's your love, Lord, that is I've allowed it to come into my heart and realize that, hey, I'm actually loved. It's not just a doctrine that we teach. He actually loves me. And when I open my heart and embrace the love that he has demonstrated so perfectly, what does it do? It changes me. And the very nature of love is not focused on me, is it? It's focused on others. And it's experiencing his love that starts to give me the power to love other people. Isn't that the heart of what he's commanding us? You know, some people read this, keep his commands. Okay, that's the Old Testament. That's the Ten Commandments and all that. I'll tell you, if you have this, what he's talking about here, all that'll be taken care of. You won't have to worry about not lying, not, you know, not stealing and all that kind of stuff. If we have God's love and we're willing to express that to others, what did John say about that in 1 John? He said, we love because he first loved us. And when we love others, his love is made complete. In other words, he doesn't give it to us so we can sit there and feel great. We do. There's certainly that benefit. But it's so that there's a vessel that he wants to shed his life and his love to others. Every one of you is a channel. Every one of you matters. You've been called to this kingdom for such a time as this, to be a vessel through whom God can live and show his light, his love, all that he is. Oh, I'll tell you, there's so much in our lives that need cleaning that get in the way of that. And I just pray that, you know, as I get up in the morning, it's not a matter of, okay, what have I got to do today? Thank God I don't have some of the things I used to have, but still, regardless of whether we have a lot or a little, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of, Lord, I need to start my day lifting my heart to you and being connected. You know, abiding. It's more than just staying outwardly connected, isn't it? Because we already talked about the fact that you can be outwardly connected and not have any life going through. I feel like involved in what he's saying about remaining in the vine is making sure the sap is flowing, making sure there's actually something happening so that life that's in that vine, which is perfect, completely able to produce what God is after, but that's got to get into us. And you think about the relationship, this personal one-on-one relationship and all that that involves. I know Brother Ricky preached a few years ago about the conversation. He described our relationship and prayer as a conversation, and that's a very good way to put it. It's easy to remember. How the Lord wants us to lift our hearts to him. It's not all just, oh God, I need this, I need that, I need, you know, need the other thing. He's not Santa Claus. But isn't it interesting what he describes here is coming into such a relationship that we can ask whatever we want and he'll give it to us? You ever wondered about that? But you see, it's contingent upon that relationship. The more we have of that, the more we're going to know how to pray. The more we're going to know what his will actually is so we can act it. And then the more of his faith is going to be in us, the more of everything that's necessary to make that happen for us to be participants in that. God wants every one of us to have such a connection to him that we can, like Jesus did, he went out every day and prayed. Sometimes he prayed all night. And I don't think it was just a whole lot of words that he was pouring out, but there was a listening, there was a communing. Father, I want your will. I don't know what to do. I'm trusting you to show me today and just to do it in me and through me to help me to be in such perfect harmony with you that I don't even have to struggle or strive. I just go out and do, and it happens. That sounds like a wonderful, restful kind of meaningful life, doesn't it? We're in the process of Lord cleaning us up so we can do that, but Jesus was the perfect example. But you know, it's prayer. Certainly it is praying about needs. The Lord can bring needs to our minds and to our hearts, and you know, more and more of them are going to be about somebody else and their needs. But there's going to be times when what we need is just to worship him, to say thank you, to praise him, but above all, to listen. not to rush through a little form that we call Bible, you know, praying and reading the Bible, but to say, Lord, give me that listening ear so that I'm not just putting you, I'm not just getting out and doing my spiritual stuff, putting it in a drawer and going on about my life. My life is walking with you. And yes, there are special times when I need to get alone with you and make that connection and keep it fresh and all of that. That's important. But the Lord also knows we have lives and there are activities, and he understands that he's put us here to live our life in this world. But oh, what a difference you have the power to make. There are people that you have the power to influence. And God has put them in your pathway. And how much of that influence that we have on them is really the Lord? You know, I'll just briefly look at a couple of scriptures that we're familiar with. James chapter 3 is one that some of you probably already thought of. This is where James is talking about the tongue. You know, every one of us have tongues, and not everything that comes out of them is anointed by God and just a blessing and a help to his people. You suppose we need to get connected to the right source? I mean, he talks about how ridiculous it is for with the tongue we praise God and then we curse man who's made in the image of God. What's that about? You know, it might be good for us to stop and say, you know, after we say something sometime, where did that come from? Was that just me acting out of human frustration? Was that just Adam coming out? The old nature, the old me? Or was that really the Lord helping me to be gracious? When somebody says something mean, do we just lash back? Or something we don't like? All these natural human reactions. God wants to clean us up and enable us, not just give us a list of rules and do's and don'ts, but to literally infuse his life into our spirits to the point where when he says, be kind, when he says, encourage one another, when he says all these things that are so hard to do in the natural, don't be impatient, don't be, you know, all the things that we're not supposed to be. But there he is in the middle of it saying, let me out of here. I'm here. Now, the thing is, if he's not in, he can't come out. I know that on one level that almost sounds humorous, but it isn't meant to be. That's critical. If he's not in, what's going on? That's somebody who just has an outward profession. The Lord wants to do what he described for Nicodemus. You got to be born again. You're born with Adam's life. If that's all you got, that's all that's going to come out. Now, you can learn how to behave better, but serving God is not just a matter of modifying your behavior so you don't break the rules so much. It's a whole different life. Because I don't care how you behave, if all you've got is Adam's life, you're going to perish. It'll be all over. But there's a life that God will give to every willing, open, surrendered heart that will change, that will last forever. And it'll begin and it'll grow up. And then this is what we're in the learning process of how to live out that life and not the other one. And God's going to help us, and he is helping us. But oh, you can read this passage about how challenging it is and how revealing it is. How we talk to one another, for example. And now it's getting quiet again. But I don't believe the Lord's telling us this to condemn, but rather to teach and to help us to be more aware of where he's going. He wants to bring us to that place where we can be at rest in his arms, just leaning upon those everlasting arms. And just love one another without striving at it. That's where he's seeking to bring every one of us. Do you think he's willing? Do you think that's what he wants? Yeah, the question is, are we How much are we on board with that? And you could go on a while. I'm going to go back to, real quickly to Ephesians chapter 4. Because this is one of those areas where he describes the old life and the new life. And he tells us to, concerning our, in verse 22, I think, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. They're going to lie to you every time. You think this or that is important? It's a lie. But to be made new in the attitude of your minds, the whole way we think and therefore how we are in practice, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, I thought about, it was a scripture I meant to use at the beginning, maybe this is a good place for it. But one of the things that Solomon said in Ecclesiastes was this, I'm just paraphrasing, whatever God does is forever. So whatever we do that's just us doing it is going to perish. It will not last beyond this life. It's meaningless beyond that. But whatever we allow God to do in and through us will last forever. That sound important? It does to me. All right? And this is created to be like Him. Doesn't have to try to be, it is. Therefore, then he goes into the details, which tells you, you know, what to look for. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. Speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. This gets into the body of Christ, doesn't it? And our purpose for having His life in us. It's that we can be vessels to help one another. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Obviously, there are times we experience that, but don't hang on to it. Don't bury it down deep and simmer. Do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing, Paul was dealing with people who come out of a rough life. They lived in a heathen culture. They were guilty of all kinds of things. Isn't it amazing that God can pull people out of places like that and call them His own? Called, chosen. Only He can do that. Do not let... Oh, I'm sorry. One has been stealing, must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands. So that's not unspiritual, is it? That they may have something to share with those in need. Again, where's the focus? It's on others, isn't it? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. See, it isn't about me, is it? It's according to their needs. That it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That's a pretty good description of what Jesus was talking about, right? Where our focus is not on self. We're not just growing leaves or whatever else a branch might grow that wasn't really the purpose in the first place. I'll tell you, I'm so thankful for what He's called me to. But I want to get up, and I'm sure I've got a long ways to go. But so do you. But God is faithful. God is patient. But Lord wants every one of us to get up every morning, and instead of just, okay, now I got something spiritual to do, I'm going to press the spiritual button and act spiritual. We got these ideas as to what that amounts to. Instead of just relaxing, being ourselves, but letting what comes out be edifying to other people and a blessing and a strength. You know, we're not robots either. We've said this many times. Every one of you is different. God made you that way. It's okay. He just wants what comes out to be carried, be filled with His Spirit and an expression of that. And he wants every one of us to get to the place where we're not struggling and striving to try to make that happen. We come to a place of rest and say, this is how I'm supposed to be, Lord. I'm supposed to just believe in what you've given to me. Agree with it. Cooperate with it. When I feel needs, I say, Lord, search me. Lord, teach me. I don't know everything I need to know, Lord. In all that I experience today, teach me something. Help me to learn from you. Do you see how that process is one of constant communion, frequent communion with him, where we're never out of touch? We do not put God on the shelf and go live our lives, but rather all of our lives are connected to him. And I'll say this again. I don't think this has to go on. But every single one of you has been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. You may never, ever say something in public. That's not what it's about. If God's given you a gift, if he's preparing you to have a certain expression in the body of Christ, this is kind of the way it's going to happen. It's not like we go to school and learn the formula. It's not how we just learn how to do stuff and how to get God to do stuff. We learn how to be so connected to him that we don't have to try to do. We just are. And it just happens without us even being conscious of it. You know, I think that's one of the greatest hindrances I know. When it becomes over self-conscious. Am I doing it right? What am I supposed to do here? God wants to take that restless unbelief, that fear out of us, to where we just say, Lord, I'm in your hands. I'm just going to trust you to help me to be the person you want me to be. And where I need correcting, I know you're going to be faithful. And if I mess up, I know I've got a place to go because of what you did for me. Amen. But Lord, I'm going to lay hold of the life that you called me to. It's a life of rest, not struggle. It's a life where what comes out of me is divine life, stuff that I can't do. And yet it's going to go out and affect people around me in a way that is going to have eternal results. If you've got Christ in you, you have the power to do that. Your life matters. And he wants you to just bloom where you're planted. Look to him, and God's going to give you fruit that will last. And his name is going to be glorified. To God be the glory. May God help us to live all of our lives connected to him. Praise God.